And this week, we're jumping into country. Any country fans? Okay, we got a little bit of country fans out there. Okay, we're going to go country. This is my country feel. I couldn't put on boots because I'm not spending what it costs for boots. And, you know, it's funny, as I was prepping this week and trying to get into the country mode, I was listening to country music as much as I could. I kid you not, it was hard. Country is for me one of those only genres that I can't really dive into. There's so many other genres. You want to go metal, you want to go hip-hop, you want to go indie folk. I can go there. And Jamie, you're taking a picture of me, and I don't want to know where this is going to end up. I had some fun this week. I put country on Spotify, and I had some Luke Bryan, Brad Paisley. I have to read these names because they're not normal for me. Kenny Chesney, Miranda Lambert, Blake Shelton, and Carrie Underwood was spinning a lot with my daughter in the car. She's like, play it again! I'm like, okay, we're going to sing that song again. And I might have even used the phrase y'all once or twice this week. I did not talk about any pickup trucks or dogs, but it was actually kind of enjoyable, and I'm like, I think I could get into this a little bit. I think I could do this. Yeah, see? Not a lot. Just enough. And, this week we're diving into a Tim McGraw song, and Tim McGraw has been pumping out hits since, like, 1994, and it's hit after hit after hit, and when this came out this year, it went right to the top. And so I'm going to ask that you join me in watching and enjoying Tim McGraw's Humble and Kind. Solid song, right? After listening to that a couple hundred times, I might be willing to give country another shot. What's interesting about this song is that Tim McGraw didn't write it. He's the one who made it famous by singing it, but there's actually a woman named Lori McKenna who wrote the song. And Lori McKenna, in her own right as a singer-songwriter, is an amazing, amazing accomplished singer-songwriter. And when she wrote this song, she knew it was extremely important. And what's funny is how it kind of came about and how she kind of birthed this song. Humble and Kind sprang from her concern over raising her young children. In the age of cell phones, social media, and hoping that they understood the proper way to treat other people. In an article on tasteofcountry.com, she actually says, I think initially, it honestly came from a kind of frustration in the way that you could see people sometimes not being humble or kind. I remember having a conversation about it thinking, have we been careful to raise our kids? Our kids would never say that. Our kids wouldn't do that, would they? Have we really been careful enough to make sure that they know everything we want them to know? Now, I don't know about you, but I have thought those things. With a 7, 8, and 10-year-old at home, I have honestly wondered all the time about what they are learning and how they'll grow up. I mean, it's too bad I didn't write this song. After writing this song, though, she sent it off to Tim McGraw. And when she sent it off to Tim, he sat on the song for about a year and a half. And he listened to her version and he just thought, I don't know how to make this better. I don't know that I could sing this now. And he continued to listen. He continued to listen until he decided the time was right to record it. In an article on theboot.com, he says this, I think in the times that we live in, it's an important song by itself, just by what it says. Being a dad and having daughters, one just went off to college, and another one that goes off to college next year. She graduates in May. She just graduated. My youngest daughter starting high school. So you start to look at the world in a different way than you've been looking at it without having kids. Now, I can respect a dad who wants to make sure that his kids know what's right, what's wrong before they leave the house. In every interview that he did about when he recorded this song, he tells over and over and over again that he could not make it through one recording because he would weep. He would weep wondering, did I teach my girls what's right? They're going off into the real world. Are they ready? Are they prepped? And I can feel that in this song when he sings it. And I'm thankful that while I wrestle with this as a parent, have I taught my kids what's right? I'm not the only one who's ever wrestled with this. I am sure that if there have been children in your life, any way, shape, or form, or you have had influence over someone else's life in any vocation that you have, that you could speak truth into someone's life, you absolutely at some point have left wondering, what did I leave them with? Was that worth the time? Did I invest, or did I say the right things? Did I teach them values, or just teach them behavior, you know, modification? I'm thankful this morning that I don't have to rack my brain trying to figure out exactly what to teach my kids, wondering if it's humble and kind are the best traits for them to know. Because this morning we have words from the wisest man who have ever lived, King Solomon, who teaches us how to teach others what's the most important thing. And all I have to do is to follow that lead. So this morning I'd like to look at a passage in Proverbs chapter 2. If you have your Bibles with you, you can open it up almost dead center and it'll be right there. And if you don't have a Bible on you, you could download it on your iPhone or your Droid or whatever you're using now, and or on your iPad, and it'll be about halfway down. You could scroll through. And Proverbs is an amazing book. And it's written by King Solomon, and it is a collection of sayings. If you've never read the book of Proverbs, it's very, very different than most books of the Bible. And the most, I guess the easiest way to explain it in the 21st century is it's like a book of tweets. All right? It's a book of tweets. It's filled with little phrases over and over and over that are like, oh, that was good. Oh, that's witty. If you want to seem smart, just start taking them and tweeting them, and everyone will be like, wow. You'll seem way smarter than maybe you are. I'm not making any assumptions. It's a great, great book. And it's so different because not all of Proverbs flows together. It seems very compartmentalized at times. Whereas if you read the Psalms are poetry and they are songs that really flow and you could feel them and you understand them. Proverbs doesn't work its way out like that a lot of times. It's very scattered. But the cool thing is, in Proverbs 2, this is one of the few Proverbs that does have some flow to it, all right? It does have some flow, so it's pretty easy to understand. And this morning we'll start in verse 1. And this is what the wisest man in the world who has ever lived has to say. My child, please understand that he's writing this near the end of his life, and he's writing this to his kids, hoping they'll understand. Grown kids, not young kids. So if you're here today and you're breathing, there is something that you and I can learn from this, from a grandfather talking down to his kids. And he says, my child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. This is that plea that every one of us has said before to a child at some point. Would you just listen to me? Just listen. I said that this morning as I woke my daughter up, and she went back to sleep, and I said, you didn't listen. Will you just listen? Get up. Get up, please. This is King Solomon's plea to his kid. Just listen, please. And what does he beg his child to understand? Let's look at verses 2. He says this, turn your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would silver. Keep them like hidden treasures. Please understand that there's so much in these three verses that we could unpack. But as a whole, I want to stop and just look at the active nature of these verses. When you look at the beginning of them, you can see a handful of phrases. Phrases like tune your ears, concentrate, cry out, ask, search. These aren't passive phrases or passive verbs. These are active words. And Solomon is trying to help his child to understand that wisdom, understanding, and insight are not something we can gather and gain. They are worked for. And they're not usually just stumbled upon. You have to work for this. And I feel like I need to pause here for a second because this does not quite match up with the reality that we live in. We live in a culture that is usually looking for the most quick and efficient way to accomplish anything, putting in the most minimal amount of work. It's like people who complain about being in debt when they don't have a monthly budget to work off of. That's 70% of our country that doesn't work off a monthly budget and who can't figure out, why am I so far in debt? I don't know. What do you want to do tonight? Let's go out to eat. All right, put it on the card. Well, there's no plan. There's no understanding. No asking for help. No searching out wisdom. Just passivity. Or it's like the 2/3 of American adults who swear they're going to lose weight because they're overweight or obese, only to sit and critique the athletes at the Olympics while pounding a pint of Haagen-Dazs. You see, it's a desire. There's no plan. There's no seeking out coaching, wisdom, training. We've got to go after it. That's where wisdom is found. It's active, not passive. It's like the high school or the college student who believes osmosis is true. And so they study the night before a test and they fall asleep on that book thinking they'll absorb all of that information. And they wake up and they have nothing to show for a lack of effort except for drool stains that they'll probably have to explain when they hand that book back. And they're like, sorry, my dog drooled on it. You see, there's no work, there's no effort. There's no seeking out wisdom, tutoring. What do you expect? You want to do well, but there's no concentration, no understanding. How dare us think that we'd become wise by doing nothing? We need to stop being passive about wisdom, and we need to go after it. And while it's important for us as adults to understand that, I think it's important for us to think about when it comes to our kids as well. We need to stop fixing issues for them. We need to let them walk through and learn some of the hardest things in life. If you're here and you are one of our teenagers who are here, or you're in youth group age and you're young adults and you're waiting for your mom and your dad to fix your problems, I am so sorry if they do it all the time for you, because you won't learn. You will never learn. And when you say, why won't you fix this? And they say, I need you to learn, and you get angry at them, that's okay. You need to learn. For the adults in this room who are investing in these lives, please let your kids fail sometimes. Stop being a helicopter parent. Stop being a lawnmower parent for all that. Getting the lawn ready for them so there's no bumps and bruises and hiccups on their road. My gosh, my biggest lessons were learned when I tripped and fell so far and hard on my face that I swore I'm not tripping up like that again. I'm making a better decision. I know that's hard to hear. Wisdom isn't gained when it's already and easy for you to go. You gain nothing from that. It's only gained through work, gained through concentration, gained through seeking after wisdom, like treasure, like silver that you have to dig for and hunt for. You don't gain it from sitting and waiting. Someone tell me wise things to do. Just tell me what to do. It'll be easier that way. It may be easier, but it will not change your life. We have to teach our kids how to gain wisdom, how to tune their ears to the authority that's over them, how to concentrate, how to cry out, like King Solomon says, and ask for advice. We have to teach our kids how to gain wisdom. Maybe for some of us, like myself, we need to learn how to gain wisdom, how to grow and to mature in it. I think this is hard for us to teach because I don't know that many of us do this well. And I'm just being honest. I don't know that many of us do this well. I think when we want to search out the answer, we Google it as quick as possible, and whatever it says, we do. We don't search out anywhere else. And I think if King Solomon were here and were writing to us, he'd be like, don't Google it first, please. Just hang on a second. You could do something else, and there's a benefit to it on the other end. So what's the benefit? Let's check out verse 5. When you seek out, when you search out, when you cry out, when you go for all of this wisdom and understanding, then you'll understand what it means to fear the Lord. and you'll gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. Isn't that good to know? Where does wisdom come from? It comes from the Lord. He grants this wisdom. And from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. I just love this. When we actively seek out wisdom, God wants to give it to us. And this wisdom and understanding comes from his mouth, right? It comes from what he says. There is no way for us to gain wisdom and understanding that will change our lives if we don't get it straight from God. Now, I will tell you this morning that I have never heard the audible voice of God. God has never said to me in any of the times that I have, in all the times that I spend time with him,
Jimmy, the wise thing to do now is shut your mouth.
Because I think that's what God would say to me most of the time. Yeah, don't say what you're thinking. Where I gain my wisdom and where I gain my insight to hear the voice of God is two places. And the first one is from the very mouth of God. And that's the Bible. Scripture tells me that this is God's breath, his life, his words to me. And I will tell you that if I make a great decision, most of the time it's based on principles and common sense found in the Bible. When I want to come back at somebody and really go at them because they have hurt me, I do go back to Romans 12, which Sarah read, where it says, you know what? You treat them with kindness. Vengeance is God's. It's not mine. So when I shut my mouth and I say, you know what? Maybe war isn't the right thing for this situation. Stop. Don't go after this battle. That's not me. My carnal nature says, go get them. But God's Spirit, which is confirmed by the Word, says, Jimmy, shut your mouth. Let it go, man. It's not worth it. Vengeance is mine. I will do it. When someone has hurt me so grievously and I'm just ticked off, God, I'm done. I'm done with this relationship. And when I read Scripture and it tells me, you know what, you forgive. You forgive, Jimmy, because I have forgiven you over and over and over. Can you not forgive too? You know what? You're right, God. I can forgive because you've forgiven me. And based on God's word, which teaches me about my marriage, it teaches me about my friendships, it teaches me about money, it teaches me about my every aspect of my life, I can make better decisions. I can gain wisdom and understanding because from God's word, he gives it to me. And the second way that he does it is through the people that are around us. My goodness, surround yourself with wise people, and what kind of advice do you think you'll get? Wise advice. When you surround yourself with people who constantly make bad decisions, you're not going to them for advice. You're not going to all of a sudden be like, hey, I've got this issue in my life. And they're like, forget it. Do nothing. Let's go out and see a movie. While that may be a great, you know, distraction, that's not going to help you. You need people who are going to speak truth into your life that help you gain. And I love this treasure that God gives us. He gives us the treasure of common sense. Do you know this is a gift from God? Common sense? Common sense is a gift from God. And I'd like to argue this morning that the best kind of wisdom we can gain is when you combine God's word and common sense, you really will start to make some of the easiest and best decisions ever. Because common sense is a wonderful gift from God. This is the treasure. And here's the promise. Here's where it all leads. And we'll end with this in verse 9 to 11. When you have this common sense that God gives us, this treasure, you base these decisions on his word, then you'll understand what is right and fair. And you'll find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy, which we talked about last week, right? Wise choices will watch over you, and understanding will keep you safe. I don't know about you this morning, but I know that this is what I want for my life. I want to know what's right. I want to make decisions that are right. I want to make decisions that are fair, and I know that life isn't fair. I totally get that. But when it's within my reach to make the best decision possible, I want a right and a fair decision. I want to understand what's the difference between a bad decision and a good decision. I want to know what's just. I want to know how to say, God, this is the right thing at the right time. I want a life where my heart and my mind are filled with joy. And I know that the decisions that I'm making are the ones that will keep me safe. I don't want to make intentional decisions that are going to put my life or my family's life in harm. And I know that some of you, you are in the throes of life that have you with some of the most difficult decisions that you've ever made in your life. You're dealing with medical issues that you don't know what to do. You're dealing with marriage issues where you're ready to throw in the towel, or you're getting ready to jump into it, and you're like, what am I doing? It's great, okay? There's a lot involved in life. Some of you are in the midst of job transitions, and you don't know what's going on. Maybe you're trying to figure out what to do with an issue with your kids, and figuring out what's right, what's just, and what's fair is very difficult. I want a life where I demonstrate what is right, what is just, and what is fair. And when I have the opportunity to teach my kids and anyone that I come in contact with, I just pray to God that He gives me the wisdom to teach others what is right, what is just, what is fair. And in doing so, it would bring wisdom. It would bring common sense. It would bring joy knowing that they're making healthy, right decisions. I want this for my kids so that maybe as they get down the road and they're choosing a spouse, they make a wise decision. As they choose to parent, they don't make half the mistakes that I make. Maybe as they choose a school, as they choose a vocation, as they choose how to live their life, maybe it's not about just being humble and kind, but it's about gaining wisdom, and I've taught them how to do it. I pray that as a church, we would be a place that doesn't sit back and wait for wisdom. I hope to God that Sunday morning is not the only time that you find yourself in the Word, the only time that you're like, huh, well, I remember what Jimmy said, kinda, maybe a little bit, by the time you hit lunch and then it's gone. I pray that you jump into your program where it gives you something for Monday and you reread the passage that we go through, or you stop and this week I pray that you would have an opportunity when some sort of decision comes up and you're like, what's the right thing to do here? You search out Scripture. You search out common sense. If you're still uneasy about a decision, you call someone you trust and say, what do I do with this? And you listen to the words like King Solomon said, listen attentively. Go after wisdom. I beg of you, don't sit and be passive about your relationship with God and expect that you'll make the best decisions, because you will not, and I will not. We need God to do that. I pray that we're this as a church, that I'm that as a husband, as a man, as a dad, as a pastor. And I pray that whatever roles God has you in, you would seek out wisdom this morning. Will you pray with me as our music team comes back up this morning? God, I'm thankful that Scripture isn't always that difficult to understand. That you desire us to make wise choices, and you tell us that you'll give us wisdom. But we need to seek after it. We need to go after it. And God, I pray a blessing of fervency over our church this morning. That as decisions need to be made this week, that I could already tell there's a sense of anxiousness and worry. That we would maybe jump into Philippians where it tells us don't be anxious in anything. But in everything, with thanksgiving, with prayer and petition, present your request to God. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That when we're ready to just give up on something, there'll be someone to come alongside and say, that's not the wisest choice right now. Let me encourage you. Let me spur you on. Let me sharpen you and help you. And I pray that you would give us opportunities to do that in other people's lives too, that when there's those situations that Scripture speaks into, and we know it, we would speak Scripture into other people's lives as a blessing and to encourage them. And I pray that we would be responsive and those we are that are around us would be responsive as well. God, help us to search after it like silver and treasure it. In Jesus' name, amen.